Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It kind of shows, I suppose, how interoperable they were between the UK and Ireland. It suggested that, you know, the serious connections around the place. It was quite intense, like all that period that, you're talking about through 2018. Mm. Of course, like, you know, it culminated in the horrific murder of Keane Mulready Woods, you know, whose body parts were found in different parts of Dublin and Louth.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs, and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. Drogheda feud heavy Brendan Maguire is in jail in the UK, and extradition proceedings have begun to return him to Ireland. Today, I'm talking to Eamon Dillon about the terrifying feud that gripped Drogheda, culminating in the brutal murder and dismemberment of teenager Keane Mulready Woods. We look at the fate of some of the key characters who brought the town to the brink of all-out war and where they are now. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Eamon, the Drogheda feud sort of has petered to an end because of many reasons, but characters involved went to the four corners of the world in the aftermath, particularly of the murder of Keane Mulready Woods and later the murder of Robbie Lawler. But one of them has popped up in a court in the UK this week.
Yeah, so Brendan Maguire, be a brother of Owen Maguire, he'd be one of the kind of key figures in the Maguire faction, which, you know, I mean, we call the other side that they were involved in this lethal feud as the anti-Maguire faction for various reasons. But we learned a lot. We got a lot of insight about how the gang worked and kind of the likes of Brendan's position from, you know, the recent cab case against the two of them. I think it was about 300,000 in cash and a couple of derelict properties were taken off him. But Brendan was described as the kind of the guy who was the muscle who would go and collect money and enforce the debts. And we learned from that as well at the time that he was living in Manchester. They had a bit of trouble serving the legal papers on him. So that was really the last we heard of him. We did know that, you know, he had a couple of kind of relatively minor charges still outstanding in Ireland, I think for possession of a baseball bat or something like that and a fray. So he turned up this week and we got a tip off. One of our helpful readers anyway let us know that there was... He was fighting extradition somewhere in the UK. So it was actually going on in Westminster Magistrates Court, which I think would deal with all of these extradition cases. So it's at the moment, it's at a stage which is known as a Section 2 certificate, which I'm not entirely sure what it means. And it was a very brief hearing. He appeared on video link from Wandsworth Prison. He was there in a grey T-shirt and he was trying to, I suppose, put his best foot forward. And I suppose the key takeaway from that brief hearing is that he's already used up one chance to get bail before the main hearing, which is going to happen, I think, much later in the year, sometime in the summer. And he was pretty much warned by the magistrate that he had one chance left. You can only get two goes of trying to get bail in these cases. And so did he want to wait until he had a solicitor? And he went through quite a bit of an explanation as to why he hadn't got a solicitor. He was trying to say, look, I'm trying to get bail. My bank card is in the prison. I can't get my bank card to get a solicitor to get free legal aid. So for some reason, anyway, he needed money to get a free legal aid. So that's what he was saying. He was looking for bail. He was asked, look, do you have any family that might be able to help you out? And he said, look, he was in touch with his wife. He's trying to get bank details out of the bank. But you know yourself, he said to the judge, when it comes to banks, they take their own time. So I guess he has the same problems as we all do.
Yep.
He said, look, the bank, his bank card is in the prison he's in. But he said, everything here is tomorrow and nothing ever happens. And it was at that point then the magistrate said, well, look, do you want to go ahead with a bail application yourself or do you want to wait till you have a solicitor? And reminding him that you've only got one more opportunity. So he said, look, he'd rather wait. And that was pretty much it. She said, like, if you have a solicitor by the next date, then you can go ahead and make a bail application. And that was basically it. Thank you very much, Judge. And went back to his cell, presumably.
So you're sort of putting two and two together, believing he's wanted here on those outstanding warrants.
Yeah, there was no details. The court service weren't forthcoming, or they just didn't have access to what exactly is on the arrest warrant, because it isn't actually a full hearing at this stage. This would have been very much a kind of procedural part of it, just making sure that, you know, the right person was in custody. And he identified himself, like, at the start of the hearing, gave his date of birth, his name, and obviously he appeared on screen. You could see him, so we certainly knew it was him.
Well, interesting to see where he's located and that he's behind bars over in the UK and wanted back here. Of course, Brendan Maguire, he's the older or the younger brother of Owen?
He's the younger brother. He's born in 1979. He's, what, 44 now or 43? Not very good at these maths. No, yeah.
Better than me.
Don't forget, he was shot himself. Like, Owen was kind of, I suppose, notoriously shot by Robbie Lawler in, I think it was 2018, is it?
It was July 2018 when Owen Maguire was shot in Cement Road by Robbie Lawler and, of course, left wheelchair bound.
Yeah, and there was evidence again in the cab case that, you know, Lawler kind of delivered the shots and said, this is for, and mentioned a particular name that we can't mention. And then that started off the cab case. They found cash there, whatever, hidden in the eaves of the house just outside where he was shot, between the van and the houses where Maguire was lying when the guards found him with and the first responders. And of course, that van, of course, was seized as well. But then it was the following February 2019. It was just as Brendan Maguire was coming out of a gym. He was lucky to survive. He was shot a number of times. The people he was with, one of whom was a kind of a known gang associate, managed to rush him to the local hospital, and which probably saved his life. He'd been shot four times. And he more or less hightailed it out of Drogheda since. He's been back, we think, once or twice. He was at a wedding, it was reported last year. Presumably, he came in and out before, I suppose, anyone knew he was there.
The background to the feud in Drogheda, and it is a fascinating one, centres really on the growth of the population of Drogheda as a, you know, as a commuter town. And really, I think the demand for cocaine up there, which turned the Maguire grouping from a kind of a rural drug dealing gang into serious players. They came together with Cornelius Price and formed a sort of a pretty big operation that was controlling that northeastern strip north of Dublin. And it was underlings of that group that saw an opportunity to go out on their own. I think Paul Crosby would be one, who is currently serving a sentence in relation to the murder of Cian Mulready Woods. But the feud starts in and around 2018. And on one side, you have the Maguire Price faction. And on the other side, you have these underlings mentored and supplied with both weapons and drugs by Richie Carberry, who himself ends up being killed in the feud. And Carberry is a brother-in-law of Robbie Lawler, which drew Lawler up there to that area, and a very dangerous character that sort of, you know, went in to do his brother-in-law's bidding. So in July, when Owen Maguire was shot at Cement Road, you know, there was, if you recall, there was even kind of policing activity and security around the hospital. He was in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital up in Drogheda for a long time, recovering from that. I think he kind of refused to be released because he was safer there than out on the streets. In October 2018 of that year, Lawler was arrested and held in custody for a driving offence, but he was also ended up in the same prison as Cornelius Price. And there was a shiv attack against him by the February of that year, the following year, sorry, there's the attempt on Brendan Maguire. In the March, Richie Carberry survives his first gun attack. And by the May, Cornelius Price was released, giving kind of back the power, I think, to the Maguire faction, doesn't it? That moment was a very serious development in that feuding situation.
Yeah, and of course, we know that Brendan was actually at Cornelius Price's funeral in January last year. There was a big, lavish, ornate funeral. There was the three Lamborghinis driving by.
That was all in Manchester. So they had connections. They were over and back to the UK, this faction.
Yeah, and they had been all along. I mean, Cornelius Price was at the time facing charges, if you remember, over they kidnapped a drug dealer and his brother, and were trying to extort money for them, and there was torture involved. And that was what, if you remember, Desi Dundon ended up being sentenced to. He got a long stretch, I think 15 years in Wood Green Court there last year. Jared Dundon, yeah. Sorry, pardon me. Yeah, Jared Dundon. Of course, Desi is serving life still. But that was, it kind of shows you, I suppose, how interoperable they were between the UK and Ireland, suggested that, you know, the serious connections around the place. But like in terms of Brendan's role, when it came out in CAB, like he was considered quite senior. And even then, like some of the evidence suggested that there was an awful lot of back and forth, like, you know, not necessarily small level attacks, but say gun attacks and people having guns pointed at them, you know, viable pipe bombs being put on the cars of innocent people because they had once been a girlfriend or were related to somebody who's connected to the feud. And it was quite intense, like all that period that you're talking about through kind of 2018. Mm. And of course, like, you know, it culminated in the horrific murder of King Mulready Woods, you know, whose body parts were found in different parts of Dublin and Louth.
And that was, of course, just in the January of 2019. But previous to that, after the release of Cornelius Price in May 2019, Richie Carberry's associate Keith Brannigan was shot dead in Claherhead in a holiday home in a spray of bullets. That was an extremely dangerous situation for people that were there sort of clearing up for the summer. And in the November then, Richie Carberry himself was shot dead in Bettystown. All the while, Robbie Lawler was in custody awaiting trial in connection with allegations of a gun attack on the home of a Coolock woman. When he faced trial in December, he was, you know, absolutely incensed and adamant he was going to get off and get out to kind of avenge the murder of his brother-in-law, Richie Carberry. And sure enough, in December, that jury found him not guilty. I think that was a chilling moment for the Gardaí of Drogheda to see the photographs of Robbie Lawler walking free from the CCJ in Dublin. And he heads back straight up into the kind of the territory of Drogheda. There was the famous set two outside the gym where Lawler is roughed up by a group of young associates said to be associates of the Mr. Big organization. They steal his gym bag and the video goes viral. Within a month, Cian Mulready Woods is abducted and dismembered and the body parts are left in Dublin and a plan, I think, it is believed to leave some of his remains outside the Cornelius Price compound in Gormanston was averted. There was panic or whatever. It didn't quite go to plan. But I mean, it was just probably one of the most dangerous feuds that we've seen outside of Dublin. And Drogheda struggled because it didn't have that sort of same emergency response situation that you'd have around Dublin where you have the backing of all the big units. I think they had to fight hard to get that in Drogheda to calm down the situation. And it was the murder, of course, of the teenager Cian Mulready Woods that gave the government response to then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar visited the town and talked to the then Garda chief up there, Christy Mangan. And with that, the backing came in, which ultimately sort of calmed the situation, as did, of course, the murder of Robbie Lawler in April of 2020 in Belfast. But it's been a fascinating sort of a glimpse into what can happen in a small, you know, not a small town, but in a town outside of the capital, where really we see most of the gun activity and the feuding.
Yeah, and look, we've been writing about the Bryce Maguire organized crime gang even before this feud broke out. I mean, they'd been involved with, you know, attacks on the White House family in Balbriggan. Benjamin Whitehouse had been murdered. He was shot dead. And of course, that particular gang were suspected of that. They're also suspected of the murder and disappearance of Willie Maughan and Anna Varsalan, who have been missing since 2015, having last been seen at Price's old home, the where you mentioned there in Meath, like his compound. So, I mean, they were a pretty nasty bunch. I mean, there were stories of them sort of shaking down other small-time criminals for cash, that they were very quick to use violence to get their way. So I suppose this all transferred then into, you know, this feud where they were competing for, I suppose, the market. And it led to a really kind of high-intensity sort of situation in a small area. And they had the added complication then of elements of gangs from Coolock being involved as well, North Dublin. I mean, I like the Maguires were certainly, their organization was suspected behind the first attempted shooting of Richie Carberry, but they weren't believed then to have carried out his actual murder the following year. It was complicated, I think, and it was difficult to get a limit, because I suppose there was some relatively new faces that wouldn't be kind of, you know, hugely well known. So there was an intel gap as well, I think, that had to be kind of made up before, you know, people could get a grip on things. And the fact that you're dealing with such a kind of a tight-knit family, based crime gang as well, kind of adds to the issue as well, to try and get someone to talk or to get the right information, even though, like, they have a record of threatening their own as well. There was cases of, you know, of that, where people had, there was gun attacks on their own family members as well. It just shows you the kind of their preparedness to use violence.
As a matter of interest, over the years when you were writing about Price and the Maguire factions, etc., did you ever see a link between the Dundons? Because of course what happened was, when Robbie Lawler is killed in Belfast in 2020, Ger Dundon, Levi Killeen, his nephew, and a guy by the name of Quincy Bramble were arrested, but very quickly released without charge, and they came back across the border. By the July of 2020, Dundon, under a new name that he's changed his name by deed poll to Darren McLean,
yes,
is arrested as part of this kidnap plot with Cornelius Price and Quincy Bramble. So we have Quincy Bramble and Dundon right in the heartland of Lawler's enemies, while in the north, that investigation into Lawler's murder, and the PSNI have repeated before the courts that the Dundons have no case to answer. But it's a very complex situation, and moving groups, but the Dundons certainly are with Cornelius Price, who's at the very heart of the Maguire faction in the UK, and all, of course, of those three protagonists, the Owen Maguire, Cornelius Price, and the Dundons, are all from a sort of from the travelling community, and perhaps have links before the Robbie Lawler murder ever happens.
Well, I mean, we've seen it with the Dundons on more than one occasion where they're willing to switch sides. I mean, the night Kieran Keane was murdered and Owen Tracy was lucky to escape with his life, that was a kind of a double cross that, you know, the Dundons played a key part in. And there was another case that we can't really go into where something similar happened as well. They were directly involved in helping to carry out a murder on behalf of another criminal gang. So, I mean, they have no compunction about switching sides, especially where there's money involved, you know, and which is, you know, and there was, of course, there's people facing charges, or I think, is it, or they're
there's
people being prosecuted over money being handed over on the, you know, at a filling station near Portlaoise.
That's right. In the days after the murder, it is a very complex situation. What happened and the betrayals and the double crosses that appear to have come together. You know, it will unravel, no doubt, in time. But all the while, Owen Maguire, who remains, you know, with injuries from that shooting that Robbie Lawler carried out, he has remained in Drogheda, while obviously the brother has been based in the UK, from what we now know.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I suppose Owen, like, we got a little bit of insight as well when the guards were trying to serve the legal papers on him, that it basically he wouldn't interact with them. You know, a young female relative was sent out to say he doesn't want to accept the papers, and eventually they had to get permission to leave them in a box on his doorstep in his, you know, where he's lived in Cement Road. It's not where he was shot. He moved down. I suppose it's about 400 meters away from his original home, but it's where other family members had lived. On the other hand, you know, the house, I think the house beside it where Brendan lived was vacant, but, you know, he pretty much hadn't been around. And they got permission then to serve him with the papers in Manchester, which he apparently accepted at the time and was deemed served. They could go ahead. But it was a little insight into where they were, where they'd been. Like, he wasn't particularly, I suppose, hiding if they were able to find him that easily. Mm-hmm. So you make sure, you know, like, there's a little bit yet to find out as to exactly, you know, why he's being extradited. So we should get that at a later hearing.
For sure. And there's other people, of course, that were involved in the feud and the anti-Maguire faction, those younger sort of underlings that went to war, who are also outside the jurisdiction and who are wanted here in Ireland. We can't name them, but that there are two brothers there that have been moving between Spain and rumoured to be in Mexico and all the rest of it. So it just shows how these feud situations, they can, you know, they can hit the headlines in a blast of violence over a short period, I suppose, before the Gardaí managed to get a handle on it, I suppose, before people are killed. And then the situation becomes so intense that many of the main players will either go to ground or leave. But the effects of the feud and the ongoing legal cases against people can often sort of peter out over a 10-year period.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've seen it, you know, between the Crumlin Drimmy feud and in Limerick, you know, and even cases in Sligo. Like, it does rumble on for years, and sometimes necessarily so, that, you know, if people have gone to other jurisdictions, they got to wait until they come back, or they're able to extradite them to bring them in front of courts and charge them. So, but I mean, it does go on. I mean, it obviously affects business. I mean, the Limerick gangs, I mean, again, you know, partly it was the violence of the Dundons that kind of, you know, got the ball rolling, that, you know, their own people, like members of the Collins family, turned on them. Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't stomach it anymore, like what was going on. I mean, even the fact that, you know, people in jail were being sort of shaken down to hand over whatever money they had on the outside. You know, they were basically, if you were imprisoned with anywhere close to the Dundons, you were effectively a hostage. And again, we saw that then, you know, with the kind of the ultra violence that was, you know, and certainly used in the Keane Mulready killing. It just turns people against, they get to the point where, okay, they're frightened and they're scared, and that might have kept them in line, but it gets to a point where even then, this has just gone too far. You have to just opt out.
They've crossed a line in the sand. And Drogheda has, you know, listen, we're not naive enough to think that the drug dealers have gone away or that the demand for cocaine in the town has gone away. But it has quietened down as regards the murder and the violence, from what we hear as such. No doubt there's still dealers out there putting pressure on people for drug debts and, you know, torturing families and etc. And no doubt people have moved in to take over that market. Perhaps they're more businesslike and quieter in their dealings than the Maguire faction, Cornelius Price, and the, you know, the anti-Maguire faction headed up really by Richie Carberry were.
Well, look, I suspect that there's elements of the Maguire organised crime gang are still working away. I mean, don't forget they filled the gap that you know happened after a double murder. Not that they weren't involved in 2007, and basically it was, as you said, like it was the meeting of Maguire and Cornelius Price that brought them up to a whole new level. And so, like, you know, if that, I mean, Price is gone, but Maguire is still there. But at the same time, you know, if the anti-Maguire faction aren't able to operate, someone else is going to move in. It's a fact of life. We've seen it.
Yeah,
seen it across the board. Like, you see it everywhere. I mean, if a drug dealer in town is locked up, someone else is going to move in.
Yeah,
or someone else is going to take over the reins or figure it out.
You pull one weed in the garden and another one quickly springs up, doesn't it? Same thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a matter of kind of taxation when you manage to take their assets off them, and it's a matter of kind of, you know, slowing them down to some extent, like if they're caught up in legal issues and possibly face a sentence of, you know, 4 to 10 years or something like that. It just puts pressure on them and restricts your ability to do business at you know, at certainly at a street level. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't stop them forever.
Right, well, let's keep an eye on this extradition case with Maguire, and you know, maybe the next hearing will be a little bit more meaty as regards what he's wanted for here, and if they are those outstanding warrants.
Yeah, well, I think there'll be another bail hearing before we get to the full hearing, so right. Okay. Hopefully we'll pick up a few nuggets along the way.
Perfect. Thanks, Eamon.
You're welcome, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com, produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Clodagh Meaney. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review, or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.